daily fix of women's mixed martial arts from the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship. Be in the loop, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your fix on women's MMA with Got You Covered on Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, now, thank you for tuning in to the GSMC Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Tate, and this has been one crazy weekend. We're here, we're going to be talking about UFC 223. And we're going to talk about that co-main event. We're going to be talking about a little bit of about WrestleMania and Ronda Rousey. We're going to be talking about some of the other fights on that card as well. As usual, we have my favorite co-host, Miss Sarah. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm good. How are you? I just asked how you are, and then I interrupted you. So how are you?
I'm actually good. I'm a little confused.
Yes.
As a whole, this has been one confusing weekend.
Yes. One crazy week followed by a strange and confusing weekend.
Absolutely. So, you know, since we haven't had a show in a little while, and a big part of that is my fault, and I apologize to everyone who has been a loyal follower of the GSMC Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I've been out a little bit with some health issues and a lot of other things going on.
You look good, though.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
We're going to be back doing shows on a regular basis. So let's get started with that UFC 223.
Can we ease into it? Maybe start with the undercard? Or did you want to start with Joanna and Rose?
No, let's go. First thing we're going to talk about is the crazy week that was. Starting out with the main event where it was supposed to be Tony Ferguson.
This was the funniest thing. It was like Khabib versus Tony Ferguson, Khabib versus Santa Claus, Khabib versus Ronald McDonald. It was just the most ridiculous.
Well, Santa Claus couldn't make weight. That's his only problem.
That's true, yeah.
So kind of like Max Holloway, Santa Claus was pretty much unfit to fight.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, we went from Tony Ferguson to Max Holloway to we thought it was going to be Anthony Pettis to we finally settled on Al Alaquinta fighting Khabib for the vacant title.
Don't forget that unscheduled fight with the bus.
Well, that's what I'm going to get to next. And so we have the press conference, and then after the press conference, surprise, surprise, everyone thinks Conor McGregor's somewhere hanging out in the nice green hills of Ireland. And Conor McGregor shows up at the event and picks a fight with a bus.
Can I say that this event was so prevalent in the news this week that my mother even mentioned it to me on the phone today?
Which is crazy.
That is crazy.
Did your mother even know what mixed martial arts is?
Only because she has known you for a while now. And so you talked to her a little bit about it. But no, and my dad had no clue. My mom said Conor McGregor, and my dad was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But my mother heard this story.
So a crazy situation. Long story short, Conor McGregor is charged with three misdemeanors, assault charges, and one felony. What did they call it?
Felony mischief? No, yeah, felony count of mischief.
Felony count of mischief. Which doesn't sound so bad when you're saying, you know, it's a felony count of mischief. It's no big deal.
It's just mischievous until you hear what the jail time can be.
When a jail time could be as much as 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't think he's getting 10 years unless he has the world's worst lawyer. But the fact that he's facing 10 years, and he better have some good lawyers, because even if you go with 10% of 10 years, that's a year in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And Connor, he does not want to be in prison for that long. And then you have the situation where he's facing jail time. He's going to get sued like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think when that was all going on? And I know this is a women's mixed martial arts podcast, but, you know, this was so huge that if you ignore it, it's just negligence.
It just affected the whole week. I mean, the whole tone of the week. So I came home from work and found out about it. Didn't realize anything had happened, and then started seeing this footage from, I think it was from TMZ, the first footage that I saw. And at that point, it was footage from inside the bus. You know, somebody was recording,
right,
and they weren't quite sure what was going on. And then suddenly you see, it's like a bad movie. You see Connor sort of run across the screen of the cell phone camera, and it's like, wait, is that Connor? What?
Yeah,
I didn't even know what to think. It was so bizarre. I mean, what are you thinking? I understand maybe, and I'm saying maybe, getting hot under the collar and wanting to defend your teammate who apparently Khabib slapped. But getting angry is one thing. Getting your private jet ready to go and flying across the Atlantic, you don't think somebody could calm down in that time?
Well, if you think about it, you know, by the time you book your private jet, that's going to take a couple hours. It's a seven, you know, get everybody together, you know, get packed, make reservations, 7-hour flight. Then you got to get off the tarmac, get your rental car, and then get to the event. You're talking about 10 hours.
Minimum.
And that's one of the things I think is going to really hurt Connor, is the fact that it is a situation where he had plenty of time to think about his actions before doing it.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's going to cause him a lot of problems. Now, with that, he was actually going after Khabib, in which Khabib actually defended his title, but Khabib actually won the vacant lightweight title by beating Al Aliquinta.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, since this was such a big event, what did you think of that fight?
I didn't expect it to go 5 rounds. I don't know a lot about Al Aliquinta. I've seen Khabib fight, and he is kind of a beast, and so he tends to finish, and so I wasn't expecting it to go the distance. I was surprised by that. I thought, though, that Al Aliquinta did a good job holding his own against Khabib.
I kind of felt like, and then in the press conference, you know, Khabib was talking about how, you know, he really wanted to kind of feel what it was like to go 5 rounds, because he hasn't really gone 5 rounds before.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of one of the things. And you could kind of, it kind of felt like Khabib had taken his foot off the gas. Like the first couple of rounds, he was on him. And then next thing you know, Khabib turned into a boxer,
mm-hmm.
which was, you know, he has some holes in his game as far as a boxer goes, but I thought he did really well, very strong. He controlled Al Aliquinta really well. And then in the 5th round, he just really kicked it up. And I think he was trying to finish the fight. But as a whole, it was it was a very interesting card. I mean, main event. Now, we're going to go on break. We're going to take a short break because I got to take a couple of deep breaths here.
Do some yoga breathing.
Do some yoga breathing, because the next we got to talk about the big fight. And I know it's not the main event, but I thought it should have been the main event. It was the women's strawweight title fight.
When I heard Bruce Buffer saying the numbers, how the judges scored the card, I was like, okay, I expected that I was going to win by split decision. But when I heard the difference, I was like, okay, we've got the win easy, even same my coaches. So it was really big surprise, and the numbers don't lie. 142 to 84 and landed 132 strikes from me, 83 from Rose. That's the answer.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA from the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship. We got the fights covered. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, we're back. And right before break, you heard if right from Joanna Jędrzejczyk's mouth. She did not win the title. Rose Namajunas defended her title, and she is still the women's strawweight champion. And I'm just going to come out, and I'm going to start off by saying it this way. Rose is a great fighter. I love Rose. And I'm also a Joanna Jędrzejczyk fan. But when I was watching that fight, I had a landslide the other way. I remember going into the fifth round, and I turned to you, Sarah, and I said, do you have Rose winning a round? And you looked at me, and what did you say?
I said no, and then you replied, do you have Rose winning a minute?
I did not have Rose winning this fight. I had it four rounds solid, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and I had it a closer fifth round, but I still gave that round to Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Mm-hmm. When they announced, when Bruce Buffer was making the announcement, and he said, and still champion, my brain kind of short-circuited. I couldn't figure out what he was talking about. I was
I thought he meant
Joanna, you know, like still champion or still again, you know, I thought
once again,
right?
But no, he was saying that Rose won, and I was stunned.
My jaw dropped. I actually just sat there with my mouth open for like 3 minutes straight, just staring at the television.
I don't understand how she lost. If you look at the fight and you go back and you watch it, wait, before you even do that, you look at the numbers and you just say, okay, one takedown by Rose, I was in the fifth round. So, you know, and I still gave that round to Joanna. But when you say total strikes thrown, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, 372 to 304. Strikes landed. She landed 160 strikes. Rose landed 108. Significant strikes thrown. Joanna Jędrzejczyk, 356 significant strikes thrown. Landed 145 at a 40% clip. Where Rose threw a 301, landed 105, and only landed at a 34% clip. I just don't see how she wins. Joanna was throwing combinations constantly. I thought Rose was trying to load up on a lot of punches. I mean, the leg kicks were just
brutal.
Yes, brutal. Now, Rose had a great account of herself, and I thought she fought very hard. These weren't cakewalk rounds.
No, and she fought 5 rounds with Joanna Jędrzejczyk, which is not something that a lot of fighters have done.
Yes, I mean, she definitely fought hard. If you look at round 1, she landed more strikes. Joanna landed more significant strikes. You go to round 2. Again, she landed more strikes. She landed more significant strikes. Once again, you go to round 3. She landed again more strikes, more significant strikes. Round 4, surprise. Overwhelmingly, way more strikes. She threw more strikes. She landed more strikes. She landed more significant strikes. And then even in round 5, she landed more strikes, more significant strikes. Every single round, she threw more punches. She landed more punches. And the one thing, when you're talking about the thing that matters the most, is significant strikes.
Mm-hmm.
She landed more significant strikes in every single round. She was the one that was going forward most of the fight. So when you look at it and you say ring generalship, if she's the one going forward, throwing more punches, landing more significant strikes, how do you give her a round?
Well, and the thing is that you and I and Joanna seem to be the only ones that are surprised by this announcement.
I'm stunned by that. I mean, from Joe Rogan wasn't surprised. Dana White said he had it 2-2 going into the 5th round. I didn't give Rose any rounds. I'm sorry. If it makes me look like maybe I'm not credible as a judge, so be it. I did not. Every round, I thought Rose put up a great fight. But in my opinion, she fell short every round. In my opinion, there wasn't even a close round. I thought that every round was competitive, but every round, I gave it to Joanna. So when I heard the judges giving it 4-1, I just knew that it was going to be Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Kind of like what Joanna was saying. She was just done.
Mm-hmm. I still don't even know what to say about it. I mean, I've managed to pick my jaw back up off the floor, but I can't come up with anything intelligent to say about this fight because I'm so confused. It seems like it felt like some sort of opposite topsy-turvy world where nothing that I thought I just watched for 25 minutes was what other people watched for 25 minutes.
And, you know, I mean, and I have a lot of respect for a lot of guys in the UFC world, and especially Joe Rogan, is just amazing. And so I have to say I must have missed something. And it's rare that I actually scratch my head and I just say I must have missed something, because I don't think I have not heard anyone kind of argue with this that there was a robbery. I thought this was one of the biggest ripoffs I've seen in fighting in a long time, because I had her winning every single round, and it was in steel. And now, you look around and you look at the situation and you say Rose has won the title. I mean, has won the title and now has defended the title. And now you have to think about Rose. It's time for Rose to move on. Whether you think she won the match or not, she won the title from Joanna Jędrzejczyk and defended the title against Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Mm-hmm.
And it is now the Rose Namajunas era. Thug Rose is the reigning and defending champion now.
Yes, and I would like to say that we don't begrudge. I'm speaking for you here, but I know you don't begrudge.
I love Rose. Rose,
you think she's a great fighter?
Yes,
I think she's a great fighter. So it's not like we're having just bitter grapes because we love Joanna and don't like Rose. No, we think they're both great fighters. We don't begrudge Rose the belt, the defense of the belt, but it just didn't seem like she won. So I'm just confused.
Yeah, I mean, The division's in great hands with Rose being champion. It's just that, you know, like I said, I didn't think she won. I thought it was one of the biggest robberies I've seen in a long, long time. And that's my opinion. And Sarah kind of agrees with my opinion. But now that this has happened, Rose, you know, what's next for Joanna? Does that mean that Joanna has to go to the flyweight division? She's going to have to move up in rank, move up in weight class, because she is, you know, she's not, there's not going to be a title fight for her. You know, she's out of the title picture now.
Mm-hmm. And they did ask her. I saw, you know, some footage of them asking her, well, what's next? Are you going to go up to flyweight? And she said, you know, at this point she didn't know, and she was being very diplomatic about it. But she basically just said, I know who I am, and I'm going to keep moving forward. I mean, one thing I can say about Joanna is she continues to be classy. Even in defeat, you know, she was upset about it, but she answered questions. She went to the press conference. She put in her appearance. So kudos to her for that.
Now, what about the champ? When you're looking around and you say, what's next for the champ, which is Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And, you know, and you say, who's the next fighter? Who should she defend her title against? What's next for her? When you look at when you start looking at that division and you say, you know, who's the fighter that she's most likely to defend her title against? You know, is it Jessica Andrade? You know, who are you thinking about as the person that's most likely she's going to defend the title against? And before you answer that, you know, the person that I think about, that it's in my opinion, it's between Jessica Andrade and the person who fought on this undercard.
And that's who I was going to say, yes, was, in fact, Joe Rogan asked her about that, and that's Karolina Kovacevic.
Now, if we're gonna talk about Karolina Kovacevic, she won a very tough battle against Felice Herring. And that was a great fight. And from the beginning, that was the fight that I thought was going to be the fight of the night. I thought if there was going to be a fight that a kind of a fight that no one was expecting, but would actually just, you know, really put out some really great, you know, an interesting fight.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And it didn't disappoint.
No, they were really well matched, I thought. And they engaged with each other. I thought it was a great fight. And like I said, they were really well matched. It was, I don't know. I just, it was a good fight.
Now, and with that fight, you know, it was the reason why I thought this was going to be such a great fight is because you had a situation where, Karolina Kovacevic, she's the woman that she wins her fights on punches and bunches. She doesn't really defend herself very well, so she's easy to hit, but she throws a lot of combinations and she comes forward. And then you have Felicia Herrick who wins her fight on pure grit. Mm-hmm. Where she's going to come at you. She's strong, she's fit.
And she just came off of a four or five fight win streak, right?
Yes, I believe that's the case. Just to go back, both of these guys were in a situation, or these ladies were in a situation where you were looking at a possible the winner of this was going to could possibly get a title shot. It is Felicia Herrick was coming off of a four-fight winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny when you think about Felicia Herrick. She lost a three-round decision to Paige VanZant in April of 2015. And that really changed her life. I mean, she became a really, really tough fighter.
It really focused her, I think.
It really did. And she, oh, excuse me. And she really turned it on to the point where if she wins this, she's right in a title picture. Now, Karolina Kovacevic, who had a really great account of herself against Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Well, yeah, she actually was not coming off of a win streak. She had won against Jodi Escobel, but before that, she'd lost to Joanna and Claudia Gadelha, excuse me. So, and it's interesting because she fought Rose and won against Rose. Then she fought Joanna and lost against Joanna, and then those two fought for the title. Joe Rogan actually asked her about that in the after fight interview. And she said that, yeah, she would be, you know, she'd fought both of them and could see herself in that title pick.
Now, when you look at, you know, when you think about Karolina Kovacevic and her fighting Rose Namajunas again, how do you think she would do?
Well, I mean, she won the first time, but it was a split decision. I think that Rose has definitely grown as a fighter since then, and her confidence is going to be at an all-time high because she has beaten Joanna twice now. So that's going to make a difference. But Karolina is a tough, tough woman. And so I think it would be a really good fight.
It is. It would. I think it would be a really tough fight. I think the two of them match up really well. When you start looking at that fight, this is a situation where when she won against Rose, it was one of those situations where she just really kind of out-hustled Rose. Kind of the way I thought Joanna won this one was by outstriking, out-hustling. But it was a split. I believe it was a split decision win for Karolina Kovacevic. I think that is the perfect match. I think that's the perfect match for Rose's next title defense. I think if you know, it's going to be either it has to be either her, it has to be or Jessica Andrade. You could also have a case where Claudia Gadelha, who has a fight coming up very soon, could be also in the mix depending on how she looks.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, you know, when you look at the rankings now in the strawweight division, with Rose being the champ, Joanna Jędrzejczyk is going to fall back. Right now she's number one. I think she's going to probably fall back to probably number three or four. So you got Jessica Andrade would be the new number one, Claudia Gadelha at two, Karolina Kovacevic. Then you also have Tisha Torres, and then you also have Carla Esparza. Now, Carla Esparza is an interesting one as well, because Carla Esparza, who was the very first strawweight champion, who did she win to become the first strawweight champion?
Rose.
Hint that Carla Esparza would be a great fit. After coming off of two tough fights against against Joanna Jędrzejczyk, Carla Esparza could be a great, you know, Carla Esparza is on a hot streak right now. She has a win against Rose. It's another fight that I think would be a good fit. when you start thinking about what's, you know, potential opponents. And then you're also thinking about looking at a situation where, Carla Esparza is coming off of a two-fight, you know, she already has a two-fight winning streak. She has a fight coming up in June. She wins that fight in June. She's right. That's three in a row. That puts her in a really good place.
Mm-hmm. And it is against Claudia Gadelha. So if she does, Claudia's had a a couple of losses. So at one point she was in that title contention. Unfortunately, I don't think she is right now. And if she loses to Carla, then she's going to fall even further. But
well, when you look at the possibility of that Claudia Gadelha Carla Esparza fight is just a really interesting one because they match up well, and you could easily, if this fight is spectacular, the winner of that fight could easily leapfrog right into fighting Rose Namajunas next, especially if it's Carla Esparza.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we're going to take another break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about a little thing, a little known event called WrestleMania. She laughed.
I laughed just because of the way you said that. WrestleMania. I appreciated your intonation. Thank you.
Excellent. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, we're back, and we are here, and we just got done talking about Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Rose Namajunas, and now we are moving on to WrestleMania. Now, I used to be a big-time wrestling fan, used to love it back in the days, Ric Flair has always been my man.
We have a Ric Flair action figure in the studio. I would just like to point that out. Absolutely. For our listeners.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Ric Flair was my man. I always loved wrestling. Gave it up years ago. So I hadn't watched a WrestleMania in 20 years.
Which, wow.
Yes. But because this WrestleMania was kind of the UFC addition to WrestleMania,
even Dana White was in the audience.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. You had Brock Lesnar in the main event, who looked spectacular. You had Dana White in the crowd cheering like a fan. And you're kicking it off with Ronda freaking Rousey. And you know what? I thought Ronda looked a lot better than I got to give her credit.
She looked good.
Yes. When I first saw her, when she first came out and they first introduced her and she was pointing at the WrestleMania sign when they first announced and things, and it just looked so weird and awkward and uncomfortable. And I'm like, oh man, she's going to be horrible. I was wrong. I thought she did a good job. She still has a little bit of a hard time selling it.
Mm-hmm.
She had some great workers in there where, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon can really sell it.
Yeah, Stephanie McMahon is kind of the master at selling it. She's over the top. She's a little bit cheesy, and yet she's selling it. She's working it. I didn't have a problem. I watch it knowing that it's choreographed, but she commits. That's the word I'm looking for. She commits.
But Ronda looked good. I wasn't a big fan of her outfit that she picked.
They got to find her some different shorts.
Yes. She just didn't, the outfit I just didn't like. but you change that outfit up a little bit, she fits. And Rhonda is strong. When she had Triple H up on her shoulders, and Triple H is not a small man
no,
at
he's
all.
He's not.
And she's dropping Triple H on his head. She's in this, and she's selling it. And I was really impressed by her. I know you're not really a WWE or a wrestling fan. Did you enjoy watching WrestleMania?
I did. I mean, I was a little unsure, as you said, about how Ronda was going to do, just because, you know, this is new for her and it's different from what she has been doing. I thought she did very well. She's going to improve. She can work on her acting skills a little bit, but that's, you know, you can't expect everything from someone's first bout. But there were other things that I loved about this event as well. I mean, the little kids, they were like two small children that were just flipping adorable.
I mean, it was like one of the things that when I watched this WrestleMania event, I was screaming as in like, man, since Dana is here, hopefully he can catch some pointers. Because one of the things that the WWE does better than anyone else, it's put on quality television. They make it very appealing. They go out and they find their prize pig and they put a whole lot of lipstick and blush on it and they make it look good.
Can I ask you a question though? Since you
go ahead,
you are a fan of wrestling and you know way more about it than I do. The pancakes. Can you help me out with the pancakes?
I still don't know what's going on. See, I don't watch wrestling. All I know is New Day came out. And they were throwing out pancakes, and I don't understand why they were throwing out pancakes.
Are they being sponsored by Bisquick? I mean, it did make me want pancakes, but
actually, you know, I love me some pancakes, so I was pulling for them just because they were serving up one of my favorite foods. But it was all in all for a guy who hadn't watched wrestling in years, and I'm just an MMA guy. I thought it was really fun. Brock Lesnar, he put on a show, especially since his contract is up and there's the pretty much the way it looks is that Brock Lesnar is going to be coming back to the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
Dana even hinted when they asked him about Brock Lesnar that he said, you know, yes, he expects Brock Lesnar to come back. And then when they asked him and they asked, is it possible that he could be fighting the winner of Cormier and Stipe? And Dana said yes. DC.
His reaction was priceless.
His jaw like dropped like, oh my God.
And he gave himself a little heart flutter like, oh. Yes.
I think DC likes the whole concept. I saw visions of sugar plums dancing in his head. It was like, oh, I just see him as picturing that marquee, Daniel Cormier versus Brock Lesnar. I just saw him just get excited over it.
I don't want that fight to happen. Not the Brock Lesnar-Daniel Cormier fight, the Stipe-Daniel fight. I don't want either of them to lose, and I know you always get on me for that.
Yes.
But
that's going to be a great
just
fight.
Just both have a fruit cup, damn it.
That's going to be one heck of a fight. Daniel has yet to find his equal in the heavyweight division, even though he's a small heavyweight. If your name isn't John Jones, no one ever stops him. He's going to, I mean, him and Stipe, I still haven't decided on who I think is going to win. That's going to be an interesting one. But if you could dangle the carrot that the winner of that is actually going to have to defend their title against Brock Lesnar, man, that's worth tuning in.
Do not invite me on to that pre-fight show because I do not want to say I don't want to choose. Sophie's Choice. Don't make me do it.
And you know what? Right now, I do not know who's gonna who I'm gonna take in that one. But as a whole, wrapping things up, this was one eventful weekend.
I still don't know how I feel about it, but we are going to be talking about it for quite some time and dissecting it. So that makes it a good fight card.
You know, before we go, this question was asked to Dana, and I'm going to ask you this. This weekend, was this good for the UFC or was it bad for the UFC?
Oh, my. Well, they do say that, no, you know, all press is good press. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I don't think Conor did himself any favors. I'm not sure he... you know, for people like my mom to notice that the UFC is in the news is one thing, but I don't think that long-term fans of the UFC will be affected. I don't see that, but for the casual fan, they might be like, what is going on with this sport?
This, I'm going to say it right now, this was a spectacular weekend for the UFC. The UFC, who was having a hard time getting the headlines. What were we talking about this weekend? For the hardcore fans, they got to talk about Conor McGregor, Max Holloway, you know, Khabib, Ronda Rousey, Brock Lesnar. This was the weekend of the Masters, which is a big golf tournament in which ESPN loves. They were talking about the UFC.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty impressive considering that how many fighters were taken off of this card because of that bus incident.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
Between injuries to Tony Ferguson, Max not making weight, Conor putting a rear naked choke on a bus. there was a lot of fighters that did not make this event. But this is an event that you'll be talking about for a long time. Good, bad, or ugly. You know, it was a good event, especially with Tiger Woods making his comeback and playing his first major to get any press is amazing. And this event from Friday talking about Conor to the event, which was actually a very entertaining event, to finishing up with WrestleMania and looking around and watching Ronda Rousey have her first WWE event, Brock Lesnar having one of his last WWE events for right now, mm-hmm. and both of them looking spectacular, I thought the UFC came out smelling like roses, thug roses. And with that, I am out.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.